Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to... What date's today? 25th of December, 2020. Yeah, I think this time last year I was getting ready to go to hospital, wasn't it? I am so glad. I was going to say, maybe some people would say, well, hospital might be better than church, but let me tell you, it's not, because you can walk home from church and still be feeling good. Amen. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will sing a song or two. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, thank you for your Son. It's the reason we're here this morning, the reason we have taken this time to, Lord, just to come apart from the world to worship and praise you and to thank you for, Lord, for everything, but most importantly for the giving of your Son, for the payment of our sins. Lord, for a new life forever with you in heaven and a new life with you right here and now. Please bless our time together, Lord, and please be with those that couldn't be here. And we're not forgetting Esther and Pat and Steve and Will and Christine and John and Carol and Stephen, for Maslam and Georgina, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Jane and Corey, for Norman and Joan, for Henry and Evelyn, for Stephen and Anne Marie, for Alan Leslie, for Pearl Hetherington, for Kate and Sally, and Lord, for all those that could and should be here, for those that have slipped and slid, for our brothers and sisters across the world. Lord, please let this be a time of peace and goodwill from you towards men. And Lord, we just love you and praise you, and we thank you for loving us and for your patience with us. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take our big hymn books this morning, and we're going all Christmassy. And if you'd like to go, we're going to be up on the 400s in the hymn books, so if you want to just open it there at 421. 421 in the big book, we will sing the first Noel.
Seek for a king was there in
Amen. We're going for more of a praise service this morning, and I suppose technically we should have sung 422 first, because the first Noel talks about the Lord being born into the world, but this one talks about the Lord leaving his home in heaven to come visit with us. So we're going to sing this one next, 422, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. If you'd like to stand as we sing, you would be very welcome to. If you don't, that's good too. Seated, thank you very much. And if you would like to follow along with our first Bible reading this morning, we're in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now, I've got two options here. I can show you how good my English reading of old Jewish names is, or we can start at verse 18. So, I think we're going to start at verse 18. Amen. I know Steve would supply, he likes to keep his hand in, and he would give us suggestions for Bible readings. And I know Norman was threatened with Matthew chapter 1 on more than one occasion. But you know what? We'll try it and see. You can have a chuckle at me. Matthew. Now, this is very important. All of the Bible readings that we'll be using this morning are all to do with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of course the preparations for that. And it is very important where you come from, especially in Jewish days, because the lineage of Jesus contains so many names of so many people that were not actually Jews. There was Ruth, the Moabitess, and Rahab the harlot. All of those people came into the line of the Lord and his people. There's always an open door for the soul that loves the Lord. Anyway, Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse number 1, your prayers are appreciated. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begat Phares and Zarah of Tamar, and Phares begat Ezron, and Ezron begat Aram. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Naasson, I think. And Naasson begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Urias. And Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa. And Asa begat Josaphat, and Josaphat begat Joram, and Joram begat Uzzias. And Uzzias begat Joatham, and Joatham begat Achaz, and Achaz begat Ezekias. And Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Amon, and Amon begat Josias. And Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor. And Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud. And Eliud begat Eleazar, and Eleazar begat Matthan, and Matthan begat Jacob. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. And now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. I hope my reading of those names doesn't put you off trying them in the future yourself. I think the Lord went really easy on me there, and those seemed to go, I was going to say, a little bit more smoothly than I was expecting. Better, I think, than the book of Luke. But we'll not be doing that this morning. I think one is enough. Or the book of Numbers. Amen. Announcements this morning are just as they were on the little announcement sheet. Please don't forget to pray for folks. But I came across an interesting Facebook post. It said something to the effect, there was a baby born today. And then the news of the baby goes on 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem, and he came to give his life on the cross to save us all from our sins. And to some people, that is still news. Sadly, to many people, it's not, but to some people, it is still news, and it is still good news. But, amen. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be alive. Definitely, this Christmas is the first of many, I pray, I have in this extra time that I call 2020. Might not seem great for everybody, but I'm certainly enjoying being up and about this Christmas and seeing all you folks here. So, amen. Don't forget to pray for each other. Have a good Christ-centered Christmas. I'm not cutting the service short. This is just the end of the announcements. We have a few more songs to sing and a few more verses of scripture to read. But please do pray for souls. I know it sounds very cliched, but the greatest gift that anyone can get is Jesus. And that's just the long and short of it. Amen. Christy, would you lead us in a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two, brother. Thank you.
Thankful for this day, Lord, and the purpose that it is. Thank you, Lord, to be in your house, to Lord sing praises unto you this morning as well. We're grateful, Lord, for the church, Lord, for your people, Lord, for your Son, first of all, and most of all, for your word this morning that's already been read, Lord, that you bless our time together in fellowship, Lord, that you've accepted our praises, and they would be for the sweet smell and savour to you this morning. Help us, Lord, lift up your children today in these days, and Lord, help us keep you at the forefront of our minds today as well. Mm-hmm. Be with those that are cast down and sick, and those that are fighting silent battles, Lord, mm-hmm. we pray. Lord, just your divine providence, Lord, that you would provide for each one. Pray for the private prayer requests as well, Lord, that you'd intervene in each situation, Lord, and just sort out whatever it is that needs sorted out. Lord, be with our missionaries today, help them in the foreign lands, Lord, as I'm sure it's far away from their families, Lord, that you'd just comfort mm-hmm. them at this time and be with them and provide for them too, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. Right, let's take the little hymn books, the Bethel Baptist Church hymn books, if you would, and take and turn to, if I can just find it here, where are we? Hymn number 34. Hymn number 34 is Born to Die in the Little Books. I was going to reach for the mission, but I don't have to. Amen.
On the night Christ was born, just before break of morn, as the stars in the sky were fading, o'er the place where he lay fell a shadow cold and gray of a cross that would humble a king. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live. Jesus knew when he came he would suffer in shame. He could feel every pain and sorrow, but he left paradise. With his blood he paid the price. My redemption to Jesus I owe. Born to die upon Calvary, Jesus suffered my sin to forgive. Born to die upon Calvary, he was wounded that I might live.
Just flick back one page and we will stand as we sing Long Time Ago in Bethlehem, hymn number 33. You've heard it many, many times in church, but it was only this past week or two we actually got the words included. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Amen. Hymn number 33, Long Time Ago in Bethlehem. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you very much. Now you can take your Bibles, and this time we're going to turn to Luke chapter 2. We also have another little bit of Bible reading in Matthew again, but we'll come to that in just a bit. I'd like to read them in sort of chronological order. Luke chapter 2. These verses should not be strange to you, especially at this time of year. This is about Jesus. This is about him being actually born and the things that happened all around it. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Amen. This is the good news. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. We're not done yet. If you'd like to take and go back to Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. We're going to commence our reading at verse number 1. And read on a little bit into Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Amen. That is our Bible reading, or all of our Bible readings, and we will obviously be referring to it just a little bit in the next 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. I did promise you an hour-long service this morning by way of my Christmas present to you all, and it may not even take that long. But amen. Let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for our time, for life and health and strength, for all these gifts. And I pray you, Lord, that you would put your good hand not just upon each one of us here, but upon all of your children wherever they are. And Lord, that you would provision and protect and empower. Lord, that you would give portions of wisdom. Lord, that you would give escapes from temptation, from danger. Lord, most importantly, that your will would be done. Please bless us now this morning as we take this time to consider just exactly what it is that you did for us, the great effects that it has had upon men and women, boys and girls around the world. Please be with our sister churches, wherever they might be. I think especially in Brother Stan and the folks in Bangor, and Brother Bissett and Brother Hayne and Brother Asquith and Brother Seeley, Brother Fox and Lord Brother Cosgrave and others, Lord, that are standing to toe the line this morning and throughout the rest of their lives. I pray you, Lord, protect and keep. We love you and thank you. Pray, Lord, this and, of course, our private prayer requests and petitions in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. 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 I would say three. There are another few verses, I am sure, that are read in just about every single church that opens its doors any time around Christmas at all. And we should all be quite familiar with them. They detail the giving of the greatest gift that mankind, not just a man or a woman, but mankind has ever received. The answer to man's greatest question, and the peace and assurance that people just can't get from things and stuff, no matter how safe people think they are. Time. Time is always our enemy. And the Bible says that God created time in Genesis chapter 1, and whenever at the end of the 1,000 years, whenever the final whitewash is carried out, there will be time no more. And we will not have to worry about death or pain or aches or anything ever again. All because, for those souls at least, that have trusted in Jesus Christ, all because God Almighty sent Jesus to give his life on the cross for us. And that's worth remembering. I know many times the devil would like to remind us about all of the foolish things that we've done and the hurtful things that we have done. But whenever he does that, remember straight away the good things that God has done for you and the good things that you have done for others through God and by God. As I was reading here, I underlined a few passages that I would like to bring to your attention. It's not an exhaustive list because we don't have an exhaustible amount of time this morning, and I know people have places to be and things to prepare, and I appreciate everybody being here. One of the things that we ought to do as we read these verses, we should take a note from the angels and the shepherds and the wise men and even Mary herself. But first of all, in praising God and thanking God for all that he has done for us. You know what? To say, God, I thank you for all that you have done for me, makes it seem like one little thing that God has done for us. We ought to remember. It says in Philippians chapter 4, don't worry, don't be careful for nothing, but in all things, but in everything, bring all of your requests before God, all of your thoughts, all of your petitions, and thank God for them. That means whether it's little or large, whether it's thanks or whether it's tears, we should pray about everything, because even in that, there is peace and assurance to be had in the heart of any man, woman or child that will take the time to go into the presence of God. It says, and that peace, that can't be found in the internet, it can't be found in a bank account, can't be found in endless certificates on walls. It can only be found in Jesus Christ. We ought to remember to praise God. And it's not just saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this new car. Thank you, God, for this new job. Or thank you, God, for passing my exams. It's praising God. Just praising him. And thanking him for everything. And for the little things and the big things, but just to be joyful that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you remember the time that the Lord sent the disciples out? He sent them out in twos so that they could have a bit of crack along the way and they wouldn't be lonely. But the thing about it is, he didn't send them out unarmed. He sent them out with power and authority over sickness and spirits, the demons themselves. And they came back and they said, look, even the very demons do what we tell them. They go when we tell them. People are raised from their sick beds. The dead even are raised to life. You know what Jesus said? Don't be rejoicing in the fact that you have power on earth. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Wouldn't it be great if we could quite literally command mountains to hop into the sea? To lower the Donegal hills a bit so that the roads weren't quite as awful as you went to Malin Head. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Although some people enjoy the scenery as they go. I'm very much a get there sort of a guy. A destination, not journey guy. And Monica's very much a journey woman. And not so much a she's a destination woman as well. But we need to be glad that our names are written in heaven. It's great to be able to do stuff on this earth. It's great to have talents. It's great to have opportunities. But we need to remember that the most important thing is that our name is written on earth. And these things that, can you imagine just ordinary people seeing the glory of God and saying, that's amazing. You might think, I wish I could. I wish I could see the glory of God. I wish I could hear the angels praising him. And you may not get the chance to hear the angels praising God until you stand in glory, but you can see the glory of God in a soul that has been redeemed, That is staggering. That is something that psychiatrists and educators and tyrants can't do, is change human nature. But God can. And whenever you see someone living for God that used to live in the world, you can see the glory of God and the power of God working in their hearts and minds. The next line that I have underlined for this morning is verse number 20 in Luke chapter 2 about the shepherds. When they returned, they didn't just thank the Lord whenever they saw the things that God was doing. They remembered him. They remembered them. And whenever they went back home, whenever they saw their friends, their family, and even strangers, they told people. And that's what we ought to do too. We ought to tell people about Jesus. Because I'm going to get this wrong. Was it Isambard Kingdom Brunel? He was a great architect, engineer, and designer. And he created, if that's the right word, designed many buildings and engineering feats. But do you know what? In the endless ages of eternity, those things will count for nothing. It will only be the souls that are won for Christ, the deeds that are done for Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tells us. Tell people about him. Tell them about the little child that was born into Bethlehem. Tell them about the shepherds that saw the angels and were so amazed it made a life-changing difference in them. Tell them, and we'll come to them very shortly, about the wise men that came from many hundreds of miles away. I reckon that maybe it took them the most of the 2 years to actually get there, to gather together their gifts and their armed retinue, and to gather their supplies, to go with a humble heart, these wise men, these rich men, these wealthy men, to go to a little house in the middle of a town, completely nondescript, to beg entrance, to see this young child, because you're talking about 2 years of a difference here. These things are worth telling people about. Now, sadly, it's not all good news. Some people are very troubled when they hear about Jesus Christ. We ought to be troubled when we hear about Jesus. It ought to prick our conscience. For the Christian, it ought to remind us that there's maybe a better life to be led, or a holier life, or a more pleasing life to be led. But sadly for the lost soul, there is the conviction of sin and judgment to come. There is the reminder that no matter who you are, no matter how many soldiers you have around yourself, no matter what spaceship you hop onto, and whether you end your days on the moon or Mars, and that is not beyond our reach right now, you are still going to end up standing in front of God. You will still give an account for the life that you led. Did you get saved, and why not? Why did you not take one of these opportunities? Did you as a Christian tell those souls around you about me? Some people are right to be troubled. Herod was troubled, and he was a bad, bad boy. And that is putting a very nice spin on Herod's reputation. He was a wicked man. We see Christy was speaking out of the book of Acts, and not this Herod, but the next. I think it was the next Herod. He was so full of himself that he believed it when Herod got up to make a speech, and he spoke so eloquently that the people said, "It's the voice of a God, it's not a man." And Herod saying, "Yes, it is, I am a God." And the Bible says he was eaten up with worms. He died where he stood. Friends, some people are going to be troubled by Jesus. And some people are going to do the absolute best that they can to blot Jesus out of their lives, even at this time. That is, We know it's not the day that Jesus was born. It's the day that we set aside to remember that Jesus was born and to celebrate that our Savior was born into the world. But so many people are going to try and blot that out, like they do every other day in the year. They're going to blot it out with alcohol, with activities, with entertainment. They're going to, like the people in Revelation, whenever the two witnesses were put together, they're going to run frantically one to another, giving gifts and receiving gifts, celebrating who knows what. Some people should be troubled. And yes, we like to have a bit of a break. And we like to enjoy a good meal. And you know what? I would even let the most reprobate of lost souls have that. Because there's 364 more days in the year when I can talk to him about Jesus too. And if he needs a break on Christmas Day, I'll give him that. But even the fact that you're not there to that soul that knows you, or you're not putting a tract or a leaflet into the door, you know what? The Lord has sent us another great gift in the creation to cover you when you're not knocking their door and bending their ear about Jesus. People ought to be troubled. The last little line that I wanted to just make mention of verse 11 in Matthew 2. Where the wise men, it doesn't say there were three wise men, it just says there were three gifts. The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. The Bible does talk about a caravan of wise men that was so big that Herod was a bit concerned about it. And all of Jerusalem with him. In other words, is this an armed caravan coming to attack? I am sure he maybe breathed a sigh of relief whenever they come in and ask where the king of Jerusalem was, where the Messiah was born. But they brought gifts to Jesus. And I know that it's always nice to get something that you like, or even better, something that you can use that makes your life a little bit better, replaces something that is broken, or as my boss used to say, something that you can eat, something that'll keep you warm and dry, or keep the weather off of you. It's always nice to get something like that. Something that will improve your lot in life. Or just make you feel better for a little bit. But unfortunately, many strive for that alone in itself. But nobody else got presents. The little children in the street, they never got any presents. The other moms and dads in the street, they never got any presents. Herod and all his court never got any presents. It was just Jesus. The gifts were brought to Jesus. And I know there is real significance with the gifts. The gold was a gift from a king to a king. Gold, a signifier of royalty, regality, I was going to say. I don't know if that's a word, but it could be. We could use it enough and it'll move into common use, common parlance, and be in a dictionary. But gold was a gift for a king, and Jesus is the King of Heaven, the King of Kings, the King at whose feet every king will take their crowns off and every king will bow along with every pauper. And rightly so. The frankincense was a gift to a priest, because right the way through the Old Testament, as God was laying down the law, he said, these are the spices, this is the way I want the incense made for the temple. And we know that God was very, very particular about it, because a couple of Aaron's sons didn't do it right. And fire actually came out from the Holy of Holies and consumed them in their clothes. So frankincense was given because Jesus is our great priest. He is our go-between. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He came to give his life for yours on the cross of Calvary for each one of our lives. And even now, he intercedes for us. Whenever we listen to the devil, whenever we just don't behave the way we should, and the devil comes pointing the finger at you and says, that's your child, God. That's your child doing that. And Jesus Christ steps in the way for us. He takes that, even now. His work is not done. And we know that myrrh was one of the herbs or spices that was used to wrapping the body in the robes to stop the smell of the decay. And I am sure they knew that he was the Messiah come to save his people, although they didn't know that it was a spiritual and eternal salvation that he was coming to bring at that time. He will come again to bring a very physical salvation. And he had to give his life, and that was a sign of what was going to happen. We ought to remember that. He is not our body. He is our King and our Father. He is our great high priest to whom we can go to with any problem. He is the one that gave his life on the cross, that became sin so that we wouldn't have to bear it anymore. He is the one that came to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He is the one that came to point us in a new and a better direction. He is the one that came to open our eyes and to see old things as new things again. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he was born in a stable just over 2,000 years ago so that we could live and walk in the streets of gold for the endless ages of eternity. It's the greatest gift that anybody could ever give to anybody. Compared to an Xbox, where little worlds exist on a couple of centimeters of silicone. Compared to a 50-inch TV, although if anybody wants to get me a 50-inch TV, I won't turn it down. Or an Xbox, for that matter. Compared to a 50-inch TV where worlds just exist in that, I was going to say, 50 inches of plastic and LCD or LED. He has the endless ages of eternity and the whole of this universe for us to wander about in, to run here, there, and elsewhere in, where even the most arduous of tasks to us will seem like a walk in a park on a sunny day. When the Lord spoke to the scribes and Pharisees and said, you guys give good things to your children, don't you? And they said, of course we do. He said, if you being evil give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to his children? And it doesn't stop with eternal life. If you take any time and read his word, or even take him at his word, you will find that he gives and he gives and he gives. And even the things that you lose out on or give to him yourself, he has something that is 100 times better waiting in the wings for you. He loves you to pieces. He loves us all. He gave us life for each one of us on the cross. And all that it takes is for us to say, do you know what, God? You're right. I was wrong. Would you please save me and point me in the right direction? And he will. He loves you. Remember that as you go, as you eat, as you fill up those Christmas sweaters a bit more, as you even loosen your belt on your trousers tomorrow, and all that turkey fine settles into its proper place, or improper place, whatever. God loves you. And he sent his Son to be your Savior on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. Amen. We're going to stop there. Thank you. Before Christy even pulled a face at the back of the church, I was going to say, if anybody doesn't believe in the Christmas miracle, there is a sub-1-hour message for you. Amen. Last song is in the big books again, if you would like to take them. Hymn number 426. 426, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. We'll stand as we sing this last of our songs. Company this morning, I pray you have a good, Lord's Day. It really is a Lord's Day. I pray you have a good one. Enjoy your food, take it easy, and don't forget, just remember folks, remember the Lord and remember each other. God bless you. Thank you very much. Christy, would you pray for us and dismiss the meeting, please, if you would.
Lord, we thank you for this day, for this time together and your word. Father, we thank you most of all for the greatest gift ever given, Lord, for that. News that's ever good, Lord, that's ever new, that, Lord, saves, restores, and Lord, just guides each one of our lives, Lord, and our souls as well. Thank you, Lord, for salvation, for today, Lord, for celebration of, Lord, the giving of your Son. Love you, need you, Lord, help us be with those, Lord, that are not here, Lord, those that are sick, we pray, touch for them too. Lord, remember Dennis Johnson, Lord, for Shannon at this time as well, and Kevin and family too, Lord, we pray salvation for their house as well. Be with those, Lord, at this time that are grieving, those that are passed on by, Lord, Lord, a touch of comfort for them too, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, we are dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and tap elbows. Do all that good stuff.